Do the kids want to come up? Come on up. How's everybody this morning? Are you enjoying fall so far? Really? Okay. Do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when Mrs. Hoddenbaugh was talking about school supplies? Well, I've been sniffing them ever since. So, I don't know if you do this when you go to school, but I'm going to start doing it. I think it's just going to help me like feel awake in the morning and whatever. So, I thought I'd do that before I started. Anyway, in exactly 5 seconds, I'm going to give each of you $5. Oh, sorry, I didn't do it. In another 5 seconds, Santa Claus is going to come out of that door over there. So let's watch. Oh, I never meant it. Sorry. Don't worry about it. We're going to read some verses that we're going to put up on the screen here together, and it has to do with what Pastor Shane is going to talk about today. So we're going to say them together. Okay, you ready? We're going to read these together, okay? When you make a promise, don't break your promise. Keep the promise that you make to the Lord. Say only yes if you mean yes, and say only no if you mean no. A little while ago, I had read a book, and it was about a lady who went to live in a country way far away. And in that country, they had this funny word. I'm probably going to say it wrong. It was called tariff or tariff, something like that. Anyways, what that word meant was that you can say something to somebody, but you don't really mean it. So an example of that would be, say you're seeing some people on the street and you're like, hey, come over to our house for supper. But really, you don't really want them to come. You just say it anyway, just to say it. Another way of doing that would be, you'd say, I'm going to help you pay for that. But you're thinking in your mind that I'm not really going to give them any money. I don't want to. I'm just saying it to pretend that I'm being nice. Another thing would be, I'm going to help you get that job done. I'm going to come over and help you at your house. But really, the whole time you're thinking, I'm really lazy and I don't want to go help. I'm just going to say it, just to say it. So they have a word in their culture to do that, where you pretend to do something, but you don't really mean it. Now, do you think that we do the same thing here in Canada? Do you think people say things, but they don't really mean it? I would think that we do that. Have you ever seen where somebody says they're going to promise something and then they cross their fingers? You ever seen that? Or have you guys ever done that? I guess sometimes people think that if I say I have to promise something, but I don't really want to, if I cross my fingers, it means it doesn't count. That doesn't really work, does it? Okay, so maybe we should change it so that if you say something and you cross your fingers, that means it's kind of like a promise. Is that what you're saying? Okay, let's make that a new thing, that if you say something and you cross your fingers, it means you promise to do it, okay? Now, what if one of your friends came to you at school or sometime and said, hey, after school, let's go there and get an ice cream together and you're going to meet at a certain door and you're going to walk and go do it. And then when you go there, you find out that they haven't even bothered to come. And then you find out, well, they didn't really want to, or they just didn't care that they forgot. Doesn't really make you feel very good, does it? What if your parents said to you one day at supper time, guess what, we're going to go on a really cool trip next summer. But the whole time they're thinking, we're really not going to go. I'm just telling you that so that you'll do your chores. Probably not a good thing, right? That wouldn't make you very happy. Okay. Anyways, the verses that we read today, they talk about that if you make promises, you're supposed to keep your promises. So another way that we would break our promise is that maybe we say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you about, like say you had an issue with a friend and you asked another friend to pray for you about that. And that person said, yes, I will. But then when they went home, they never cared to pray for you. That's kind of the same thing as breaking your promise, right? You didn't do it. And lots of times today, you'll see things where people will say, oh, you're in my thoughts and prayers. But are they really in your prayers? Do you really take the time to pray? It's important if you say that stuff that you actually follow through and you do it. Can anybody think of any examples where people maybe say things or where we say things that we don't really mean? Can anybody think of anything? Okay, I'll tell you why this is important. If you guys, being as young as you are, if you get into the habit of saying you're going to do things and you're not going to do them, you're thinking, oh, not a big deal. But then all of a sudden you get older, and then maybe you're like a teenager, and you're like, you meet somebody and you want to be their friend because they're popular. So you pretend to like them and you pretend to be like, oh, I really love your hair today. It's so gorgeous. But really you don't care about that person. That's a way of kind of saying something that you don't really mean. And then all of a sudden you're an adult and you're doing something in the business world, and maybe you make up lies, things that aren't true about your company or about whatever. And pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger till all of a sudden our life becomes a bunch of lies and promises that we don't keep. That's why it's important not to do it. Now, I have a picture of somebody here. I'm assuming most of you guys know who that is. Can you tell me who that is? But do you know what's the name of the rabbit? Thumper Rabbit. Now, Thumper Rabbit, there was something kind of important that he would say on his little show. Can anybody remember when people say something that Thumper said? Can you guys think of what it was? Well, you can tell you're getting old when nobody knows this anymore. Thumper would say, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. So this is one kind of little promise that Thumper lived by, is that if he met some other furry creature in the forest, and if he couldn't think of anything nice to say to them, he just wouldn't say anything. And that kind of became a golden rule amongst people, that when you see people, if you can't think of anything nice to say, maybe don't say anything at all. Well, I'm going to add something to Thumper, okay? And can we get the verses back up there, please, Nick? We're going to add something, and we're going to pretend that Thumper said this too, okay? Go to the second one, the second verse. Okay, let's read it again. It says, say only yes if you mean yes, and say only no if you mean no. So basically, when you guys think of Thumper Rabbit this week, I want you to think, when you're going to school or you're playing with your friends, that when you make a promise or when you say yes to somebody, that you actually mean yes, and that when you say no about something, that you actually mean no. Or if you say you're going to do something, you actually do it. Because then you become somebody, as you grow up, that is very reliable, and you honor God with what you do. Okay, let's take a second and pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us your word and for giving us these guidelines that help us to be good people in society and show that we care about fellow people and show that we honor you. And I pray for all these kids here that they take these words to heart. Amen. Okay, off you go. Go smell some more school supplies.
Thank you, Lori, for that lesson. And I believe the children are dismissed for nursery this morning. Although I saw in the bulletin that Heidi is on nursery, so since she is with child, we would ask for maybe a volunteer that's on the nursery schedule to... Okay, Jocelyn's got it. As the kids leave, I want to just emphasize one more time the comedian show that's going to be happening this Friday. This Friday at the high school. If you need tickets, please talk to me or one of the youth that is selling tickets already, and we'll give you one of those. You know, one thing that I really enjoy about this church is that ever since I got here, I felt the freedom to be myself, and maybe that wasn't on the church's part. Maybe it was just a feeling that I had, but I just ran with it. Our church is obviously one that fits into our culture. Our church is one that anyone is welcome to. As you can see, we are a diverse crowd of people. And we're not one that's super polished. We're not one that's professional. At least I don't feel those expectations on me. And sometimes those things get me into trouble. Where I'm on stage, I've noticed, I can think about a few times over the last 9 years where I've said something from the stage that I think instantly that doesn't sound right, that's wrong. But once you say something, we all know that once we utter words, we can't take those things back. But we are a church of grace, and I thank you for that. I could give you some really real winner examples of how I've done this, not only from the stage. This happens to me probably more often than not in real life, where I wish I could take some words back, but I don't, and maybe you can relate to that. And I could give you some examples, but I'm not going to. I want to protect the not-so-innocent me and tell you a story about someone else. We can laugh at someone else's story, okay? So I came across this story about a couple from Minnesota who decided one icy winter to go holidaying in Florida. And they were planning on staying in the same hotel that they stayed in 20 years ago during their honeymoon. But with their hectic schedules, they couldn't organize the travel days to be on the same day. So the husband flew down to Florida on Thursday, and the wife went the next day. The husband arrived safely and got checked into the hotel, and he saw that there was a computer in the room, and he thought, I'm going to send my wife an email. However, he wrote the email, and he made a mistake with the address that he typed into the two subject line. And without realizing, he sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow who had just returned home from her late husband's funeral checked her email. Her husband was a minister, and he went home to glory following a heart attack. The widow got home and thought she'd look at her email from looking at messages from family and friends. After reading the first email, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor, passed out. He looked at the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. I know that you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey was as uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Funny story, but it shows the importance of the way that we communicate really matters. You know, if we change our own words in the way that we think, we have the power to change our world, to change the perception of the world around us. As Jesus taught, he taught what life looked like, what life could look like in the kingdom of God. If you have your Bibles or your phones, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 33. This is out of the Sermon on the Mount, or what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus taught people what real life looked like under the reign and rule of God. And as he taught how kingdom life could look like, he willingly took on prevailing attitudes of his day. And Jesus took direct hit, or went directly at the religious leaders and the politicians of his day who had turned everything upside down. And his idea was to turn everything right side up again. In Matthew 5, 33 to 37, the verses we're going to read, Jesus calls us to have integrity in our character, and especially with the things that come out of our mouths. And he calls us to mean what we say and say what we mean. Let's read, in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 33. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. What we have going on here is Jesus fearlessly attacking prevailing attitudes, the attitudes of his day, in which religious leaders were shaping what it looked like to follow God. And they did it in ways that suited themselves. Jesus took issue with the way they trivialized God's word. And so in order to help people understand what he was getting at, Jesus asked them to think about the way they were using everyday words in making promises. Now, God gave some pretty clear instructions in the Old Testament on how to make promises and how to speak oaths to one another. I'll give you a couple examples. Leviticus 19:12 reads, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am Lord. And Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. Now in those two verses, they tell us to do everything that we say that we're going to do. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. We all know that words have tremendous power. The words we say have the capacity to invoke or destroy trust, to break or to build relationship. Words have the power to change the perception of the way we view others and the world around us. A problem occurs when the words we say are used to make promises in the moment. When we spontaneously make promises without consideration as to what the outcome or consequences might be, there will be problems. For example, have you ever made a promise to God or heard someone make a promise and kind of like bargain with him? You know, a prayer could be, dear God, if you get me out of this situation, if you get me out of this predicament, just get me out of this mess. I promise I'll serve you with my whole life. Have you ever thought what it might sound like if the average person actually said what they meant in their prayers to God or in their bargains? In reality, it could sound more like this. Dear God, if you get me out of this mess, if you save my life, I promise to love the people around me and give you my life when it is convenient for me. Or I will invest my time and energy into my relationships. I will enter into community with the people of my church family when it fits in my schedule. Or, God, I'll give you all my money. Well, at least what I have left over after I've spent most of it on myself. Doesn't that sound much more honest? The same thing is said, but is now different because now it reflects what's really going deep down in our hearts. Words spoken out loud have tremendous power, and real promises have consequences attached. The religious teachers of Jesus' day, the teachers of God's word down through the ages, and many of the listeners of God's word have unfortunately adopted the habit of bending and changing God's words to accommodate themselves. When Jesus arrived on the scene, the religious teachers were habitually taking the words of God, considering promise-making and oath-keeping, and were reframing them, changing a little bit here and stretching things a little bit there. And so Jesus talks to the crowd on the hillside. He knows exactly what the religious teachers were teaching about oath-making and promise-keeping, and he says one thing: this has to stop. What you've heard taught about oath-making or promise-keeping, this has to stop. In Matthew 23, verse 16 to 22, Jesus makes this statement: "Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he is bound by it, his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and the one who sits on it." You see, the religious leaders that Jesus was taking on here were skillful and practiced at taking God's words and making them say something different than what God had originally intended. So instead of making promises in the name of the Lord, they would make an oath in the name of the temple where the Lord lived. Or they would become creative and make their oaths by the gold in the temple, or by the altar in the temple, or by the gifts being offered on the altar. You get the idea. In order to accommodate rules and regulations, the rule keepers became more and more creative with God's words in order to justify the way they were making oaths. And in the process, they were getting further and further away from the truth that God had intended. His intention was that it's important that we say what we mean, and we mean what we say. Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of the religious teachers and radically puts things right by talking about God's original intent. Jesus simplifies things, saying that making a vow means simply telling the truth about your real intentions. Jesus says that making a promise to God and keeping that promise, it actually matters. So making vows and promises that you never intend to keep is pure and utter foolishness. So make sure that your yes is yes and your no is no. Think about that for a moment. If everyone in this church family would operate like that every day, of every month, of every year, how would that change our lives? How would that change what integrity looks like? What impact would that kind of truth-telling and promise-making have? What kind of impact would that have on those who are closest to you? Or on those with whom you do business with? Or those who are your neighbors? If the people you interact with knew that you meant what you say, if they knew that your word was good and that they could always count on it, how would things change? And what if we are careful to not overfunction and allow ourselves to be shamed into doing stuff that we should say no to? What would that look like if you knew your limits and how to live within them? As Jesus talked to the people on that hillside, he exposed the religious teachers and encouraged encourage the people to stop trying to get the formula right. And he does that to us as well. We got to stop trying to get the formula right on how to please God. Stop functioning out of shame and start spending more time living out of the true intent of your heart. Never mind how you phrase words, just say what you mean and mean what you say. And just so we're all clear, the way we use words are powerful and important. And God is interested in what's going on in your hearts as we use our words. That means that speaking the truth involves the shape of what trust looks like in our relationships. And it also means that trust is earned. This issue is deeply connected to the words we say, because treating other people with dignity and respect has to do with recognizing that each one of us bears the image of God. I remember reading about how our promise-making and oath-keeping, oath-taking, is really a pathetic confession of our own dishonesty. If we feel that we have to embellish before we actually say something, there's something wrong with what we're saying. And just so we're clear, this isn't about telling fish stories with the boys. This is about telling the truth when it matters. It's about character. It's about integrity. I simply want you to think about how you use your words, because so much of what we say is connected to the kinds of responses that we want and are looking for from other people. We tend to pay attention to what other people are saying, because their opinions matter to us. And those opinions influence what we do and what we say. Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no." He says, "Come and live under the authority of God, who delights in connecting human space with divine space." And that it's important because of who it is that is inviting us into the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom that he's bringing down here. Blessed are you because the kingdom has come near and you are invited to live in it and participate living under the rule and reign of God. Come live in a space where what God wants and intends actually happens. Come and walk in the garden with God. Get to know him. Come to love him and experience the tree of life, the bread of life, and the river that flows with the presence of God himself from his very throne. Come and be part of the temple where God lives and reigns. Come and be a part of what it means to be a part of to be in the New Jerusalem. Come and be part of the holy city. Come and allow God's kingdom to come in Christ Jesus in your heart. That is what Jesus is all about, and it's why words are important, the words that we say. You are invited to experience relationship with the King who is at the heart of the kingdom. Choosing your yes to be yes and your no, no is important, because it's all about trusting Jesus to be in charge of your life. It's about giving him your life by faith and trusting him to be in control of what happens to you instead of you being in control of yourself. That is why words are holy to Jesus. Words can bring him glory and honor and blessing, because words are what come out of our heart. Words are intended to be an outward sign and blessing of what's going on inside of you. That is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't need to manipulate. You don't need to exaggerate. When it comes to the words you say, our greatest need is to release control, to place our faith in Jesus and receive God's divine life. As we follow Jesus, as his church, we need the help of the indwelling guide, the Spirit of God himself, to help each one of us as we use our words. As God the Father pours himself into the Son, by the Spirit of God, and as the Son pours himself into the Father by the Spirit of God, the invitation for the family of God, who is the bride of Christ, is to experience God pouring his life into us. To be in Christ is to experience what It means to be newly created, to be fully human and fully alive and enabled by the Spirit of God to choose our words wisely and to act on what we say. So I have some practical words for you, and I'll leave you with these. Number one, living in the kingdom means honesty and integrity in our words. That means that your yes and your no are simple and they're straightforward. Number two, to live in the kingdom means we keep our promises. That means that we follow through on what we promise each other. And finally, number three, to live in the kingdom, it's important to remember that our words are holy and intended to bring God glory and blessing. The words that we use with everyone that we come into contact with in the course of a week are also words directed to the one who created us in his own image and who intends that our words and our lives bring him glory. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I'm going to invite you into some quiet time now to talk to God. Talk to him about the words that you use or the words that you have used within your relationships. Perhaps there might be some conviction that comes to your mind that you need to make right some words or some promises that haven't been kept. Maybe you have thought about encouraging someone else and you haven't done it yet. I just invite you now just to pray to him, and then I will close also in prayer. Thank you, God, for the gift of speech and for the words that come out of our hearts, holy words that you intend from a holy people because you have called us to be holy. Take our hearts and our minds and our souls and transform them to make this so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll invite Curtis to come forward and close us.
Thanks, Shane, for challenging us this morning and making us think about the words we say, because we say a lot of words in a week. Are they all honoring to God? That's a good challenge for us this morning. Let me just close our time by reading our benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We're sent out into the world to use our words for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the gospel, to see lives change. And so, as you head out, remember that your words matter in all that we do. Amen, and you are dismissed.